We're very thankful for the fact that you're here. In fact, all of you. And I want to begin by apologizing for the ice out front. The irrigation system is not acting right. Maybe some power outage or something caused it to go off the last several weeks, actually. But I was tasked with turning it off last night and got busy doing other things and forgot to. And so it did run sometime last night or early this morning. But it is okay from on the side, and y'all be careful when you leave, though. You can also go out the front one if you want to, but just stay on this side of the sidewalk so you don't hit any ice. We're going to be talking about Psalm, the 10th chapter, or the 10th Psalm in our lesson today. So I would like for you to go in your Old Testaments and read along with me. We're going to start off this morning reading the entirety of the 10th Psalm, which might sound like a lot, but it's really not. It is 18 verses, but it doesn't take long. This psalm is very typical of the book of Psalms, especially David's psalms, when he states his concern concerning his enemies and those who are evil, and asks God, why are you not helping? And then comes to the understanding that God is in control and God does help, and that ultimately God is victorious, and that the evil will be punished. And those are the kind of sentiments that I want you to be thinking about as we read through the psalm, and then we'll do some explanation of the text in our lesson this morning. So if you will, Psalm 10 and verse 1, he asks the question, the psalmist says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Sounds rather critical, doesn't it? But in reality, it's not, as the psalm progresses. He says, the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy. He renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches. He lies low that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen. For you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. So you see, at first, there is that expression kind of doubt and wonder where God is. But in the end, there is that acknowledgement of God's victory, God's power over those who are evil, and the fact that ultimately evil will be repaid. And so that is actually an expression that is repeated quite often in the book of Psalms. And it is one that I think that we probably, from time to time, think about if we do not directly express it ourselves in our lives. Because it is true that when we look at the world today, as in just about every generation, it seems like there are people who are honest, people who are innocent, people, especially among God's people, that are oppressed and persecuted for their faith and mistreated, while it seems like the wicked get their way. And that evil prospers so often in our society today. And it has been that way for a long, long time. Kaylee and I were talking yesterday evening about Taylor Swift. The Kansas City Chiefs played football yesterday, and Taylor Swift's boyfriend is on the Kansas City Chiefs team. Most of you, or some of you, are aware of that. Some of you young people are certainly aware. And she has a lot of fans. They're called Swifties. And she has gotten very famous. And I'm not saying she's a bad person, because it doesn't seem like she is, but she is an immoral person in some ways. And it is evident in her dress and in her relationships and other kinds of things. So you can be nice and still be immoral, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about in a moment. But boy, has she prospered. And there are people who are acting like this has never happened before, but it actually has. I mean, social media is a little bit different than it was before. But I told her about how the Beatles were back in the day. That was actually even not before my time, but when I was a little kid. And they were every bit as popular and as influential and for the young, as important as Taylor Swift may be to the young today. And so, you know, whatever they did, whatever they said was gold. And actually, because they're so popular and have remained that way through the years, even since the 1960s, they just put out, after the death of two of them, a new single, which is the Beatles' last single just in the last few months. And it's very popular as well. It's an amazing thing to see what happens. So they were evil as well. Not saying that they're not nice people, but they used drugs and they were promiscuous and they broke the laws and a lot of things that were bad about them. But they were prospering and they were influencers before influences existed. And so it was really an interesting type of thing that was happening at that time. And we can talk about sports figures. We can talk about politicians. We can talk about entertainers. We can talk about business leaders. We can talk about people in general that just are not honest and not pleasant to deal with. And it's that way in every single generation. And when you look at these individuals, the impression is that evil goes unchecked. And again, it seems that way to us, just as it did with the psalmist there at that time. It's really not true. The interesting thing to look at, however, in this particular psalm is the characteristics of those who are evil. And I want you to note that, as I said, evil people can be nice. And a lot of times, evil people are nice. And you'll hear, again, people who have influenced, people who are known, and everybody will say what a great person they are, and then you'll hear them cussing like a sailor or something on a video or be aware of that, and those kinds of things are always present. But here is a list that you can see what is considered evil by God. They persecute the poor and oppress them. They boast of their own heart's desire, so they're very selfish and they get what they want. They bless those who are greedy. They renounce the Lord. The Lord is not one that is important to them. They don't seek God. God, we are told, is in none of their thoughts. They just live their life day by day without any concern for the things of God. We are told that they curse, that they lie, that they oppress, that they are troubled. Iniquity is something that is characteristic of them always. And then there is that expression that they lurk around for the purpose of doing evil, murdering and taking advantage of the poor and those who are helpless. And so that kind of thing is what is described here in the text. And again, something that you see in our society every day. One of the things that didn't really surprise me, but in the last 8 years or whenever, these things have become more prevalent. These movements have occurred where there's the, in effect, defund the police and different things, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all those kinds of things. The riots in the streets. And it comes from the left. It can come from the right as well. But so that really doesn't matter, the political orientation. The fact is that when some maybe legitimate cause, not saying what is and what isn't legitimate, but when there is a protest that out there, there's always a group of individuals that are going to take advantage of what might be peaceful protest or legitimate causes or at least a freedom of speech in order to steal things and to loot things and destroy things and to vandalize things. And seeing that is something that's not particularly surprising because we note the nature of individuals, but it is certainly a troublesome thing. So we see the same kinds of things. People get things stolen, broken into cars, and all sorts of things that you have to worry yourself about. There are a number of individuals in the state of Texas and other places that actually is called, some of them open carry, but some of them conceal carry a weapon, not because they would ever deign to use such a thing for any reason other than to save their own life or the life of their loved ones. But it is significant that that is required, because in previous societies maybe that was less prevalent and less important, but in every age and in every society there have been murderers, there have been those who do evil, those who rob, those who beat. Remember the Good Samaritan? What he is famous for in Jesus' statement is coming upon one who had been beaten and left for dead by robbers, and he took care of him and he restored him to his health. So these kinds of things have always and will always work. And why is that? Well, the other thing about this psalm that I think is interesting is the motivation of the wicked. Because he indicates, first of all, that God's never in his thoughts. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't think that there is a God. It means he doesn't concern his life with God for two reasons. One, he's doing his own thing, and so God really doesn't enter his thoughts with regard to what he chooses to do. But secondly, because he doesn't keep God in mind, and because God is not right in front of him and stopping him from doing what he wants to do, he has in his mind that God's hiding his face, that God is not powerful, that God is not potent, that he's not capable of stopping him. And so he doesn't think he's going to be judged. He doesn't think anything is going to happen to him for what it is he is doing. His mind is entirely upon now, and he thinks that he can get away with what is happening now. Now let's dial that back just a little bit. We recognize the people who are just very evil will think that way, which is why prisons are full of individuals, and oftentimes they're unrepentant individuals, because as soon as they get out, because they got caught by men, they're going to do it again, thinking they're going to get away with it. But the fact is that all of us can have that mindset, can't we? That, God's not going to do anything to me. That I can live my life, whatever it is that I'm doing at this particular time, I'm going to get away with it. And ultimately, we have to recognize that that's just not the case. It is not true. Now, those characteristics of evil, I just wanted to make note of the fact that in our New Testaments, there are many lists of the same kinds of things. So what we're describing here in this text is not in any way different from what God condemns. And ultimately, though, when it speaks of it in the New Testament, we'll take, for example, the first chapter of the book of Romans, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or you look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, with regard to the lust of the flesh, that those who indulge in the lust of the flesh, that will keep them out or keep them away from salvation. Or Colossians chapter 3. In fact, in the bulletin this morning, if you would like to read one of the bulletins, the first article that I put in there is "Put to death your members which are on the earth." And then the contrast of the old man and the new man is the second article, but they're both taken from the book of Colossians in the third chapter. And in the book of Colossians, the description of the old man is an individual who is a fornicator, one who engages in uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. In verse 8 of the text, you're to put off as a new man anger, wrath, blasphemy, all those kinds of things, filthy language out of your mouth, all that is a characteristic of the same type of thing that we're seeing here in this text. So when we look at the actions and the motivations of those who are not doing what is right, we see that their mindset is on themselves. And so the righteous says, well, why are they getting away with this? And ultimately they are not. And that's the point that is made here in the psalm. And so God ultimately being in control, he does see what's going on, and he will require an account. And that's why the latter part of the psalm says that the helpless trust in God, that he will repay wickedness, that he is a king. He has the authority and the ability to establish his will and require his will. There will be a time when the man of the earth, the evil, will oppress no more. There will be that time. But understand this, with regard to the new covenant, and ultimately the realization of this truth is found in eternity. It's not found on this earth. So you say, well, why do the evil prosper? Because others allow them to, because they have gained power, because they've gotten away with it to this point in time when we talk about their interactions with men. But they haven't in any way gotten away with it with God. And so ultimately the accounts are settled in eternity. There will be a day when God will judge mankind. All will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. He will separate the right from the left, and we will give an account for the things that have happened in our body, whether good or bad, being judged by the standard that God has set. And no longer will anyone be standing up and saying, well, this seems good to me, or what's right for you may not be right for me, or I've got my own values that may differ from your values, or anything like that. Because everyone will stand before that throne, and they will give an account of themselves to God. And what will happen is that they will be unable to make an excuse, because it will be said unto them, why did you not feed the poor? Why did you not give food or drink to one of these my littlest ones? Why have you not done my will? Why have you not expressed your love for me? And they will have no answer. At that point in time, it's going to be silly when they realize there is an Almighty God who will give a sentence to the life that they lived on earth, and maybe many will strive to give rationale and excuses. I don't know if they'll have opportunity or how that will all be, other than what is revealed in Scripture. But let me tell you something, it's not going to work. Because in the end, God will hold all accountable. Now, there is one passage I want to read from the New Testament in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that teaches this very thing. And I want to share it with you because it coincides very closely to the sentiments of the 10th Psalm. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, we are told there that it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. So he's talking to Christians, he's talking to those who actually are being persecuted, and those who, just like the psalmist here, are saying, God, why are you standing by when these people are prospering, when these people are getting their way, when everything seems to be good, and look how evil they are and what they are doing? And he said, it's a righteous thing with God to repay them. But when will he repay them? Okay, so you are being troubled, you who are in effect righteous. He said, I'll give you trouble. Paul said that God will give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So there's the two things. This is what the psalmist is indicating. There will be a day when oppression will be no more, when these evil individuals will no longer prosper, when this difficulty will no longer exist. And in that day, not only will God in his righteousness repay with tribulation those who are troubling the poor and the oppressed and the helpless and the weak and the good and the righteous, but also he's going to give the good and the righteous rest in that day. Because when is that day? We are told it is when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. So that's the day of judgment. And when he comes, he will come in vengeance, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So that's the end of the wicked. And so they can say, God's not going to judge me. God's not going to do anything. God is hiding his face. God has no concern about what's going on in this earth. And it's just not true. And we can say the same today. So the evil may have their time when they think that they've got it made, and when they convince themselves that they can do what they want without any repercussion. But ultimately, God is in control. He has the authority, he has the power, he has the ability to bring vengeance, to express his indignation and wrath. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so when we look at that, we understand what side we want to be on. Okay, we may suffer for our faith, we may not get as far along in life with regard to riches or fame or influence as others may because of their conformities and because of their brashness and because of their evil designs and machinations. But fact is, I want to be on God's side. Because ultimately, when they come and are punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, what will happen to the righteous? When He comes in that day, He comes to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all who believe because our testimony among you was believed. So we admire Him, and we get rest, and we get the crown of righteousness, and we get the mansion over the hilltop, and we get all of those things that have been promised to the righteous if we serve Him. And in this life, we may have to put up with evil as a result of it. That's Satan's dominion. That's the work of the world. It's that evil men prosper because they choose to do as they will rather than what God wills. But ultimately, God will give them an account, or they will give an account to God with regard to their practices. So what's the lesson for us? When we look at the 10th Psalm, when we look at almost all of the Psalms, when we look at the entirety of Scripture, it's trust and depend upon God. That's ultimately all that matters. Do no evil. Be on the winning side, because ultimately God's side wins. And the wonderful thing about this, as we offer an invitation, is the fact that those who are on God's side, if you will be on God's side, will help you. And if you are oppressed, or something bad happens to you, or some difficulty befalls you, we'll do what we can to make things right. And we will do what we can to encourage you, and do what we can to strengthen you. Just like the Good Samaritan did with the man who had been beat upon and defiled. Just like individuals who were poor, the famine in Judea in the first century, where you had Christians sending money to care for them and help them. Just like we do from time to time as we offer up support to preachers of the gospel and individually, like we did recently with one of the Philippine preacher's wife as she was ill and needed surgery. So these are the kinds of things that are a benefit while we're here on this earth, but ultimately the great benefit is eternity in the presence of God. So we offer an invitation at this time to all who are here. If you do have a need to come forward and to obey the gospel of Christ or any other need that we can help you with, we ask that you come now while together we stand and while we sing the song selected.